Good to see y'all. Good to see y'all. You know, I always like to do first things first. As I understand, do I have it on? Okay. As I understand, the exam that was scheduled for this week has been rescheduled for next week. Is that correct? All right. So your exam two, the spring exam number two, will come only from book two, chapter, what is this? What are we on, three? Two. Chapter two, okay? Let's see, that's results, right? Prayer that gets results. That's where we are right now. Now, you are responsible for the chapter. My aim is to review, but I have a lot on my agenda tonight. So we may not get to the full review. Most of the chapter, chapter two, we've covered. Book two, chapter two, because I think what happened, we started like midways the chapter, because there were some things I wanted y'all to know, so I went ahead and I gave it to you. And then I told you, you know, we would come back to it a little bit later. So you heard it, so it's not going to be anything new. And as you know, my exams are real easy, and y'all do fine. So we have the exam. Tonight I want us, well, a couple of things I want to tell you. When any of the instructors suggest, recommend, urge, encourage you to listen to any of apostles' messages, by all means, do it. If you're going to be able to keep up with Apostle right now, you're going to have to go full-breasted. Listen to, some of the Sunday messages that we tell you about. Listen to some of the Wednesday messages. Like tonight, I'm going to tell you he is currently teaching a series on prayer, purpose, pursuit, prevailing. Okay? Very, very pertinent to this class. I do encourage you to go to the archives and listen to those messages. He talks a lot about purpose. And in this class, one of the things that I encourage you to do was begin to pray about your purpose. What we have learned, and online students also, is that our purpose can only be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. It's not anything that just it's not automatic. It's just not going to come. You have to seek God for it. Those of you who've read Operating in the Courts of Heaven, Mr. I think it's Henderson, talks about that. He says before you were ever born, your life was written in the book, and that the book has been sealed. And nobody can unseal your book but you. Okay? Nobody can do it for you. So your purpose, nobody can help you to discover your purpose. You have to discover it on your own. Prayer, reading the Word of God, seeking God. And then, Apostle told us something that I guess it wasn't really a shock to me, but it helped to clarify. He said your purpose is not your gift, it's not your talent, and it's not your calling. when he said that, it's like, oh, my God. Now, all of those things are needed to help you to fulfill or to walk in your purpose, but it's not your purpose. Amen? Why did God anoint you to be a pastor? An evangelist. Why? What's the purpose? Only you and God can talk about that, okay? So that's why I'm encouraging y'all. Listen to some of those messages in the archives. Tonight, we're going to pray about purpose, okay? And I want you to ask in your own way, ask God to begin to reveal to you your purpose. And then ask the Holy Spirit, because then he has to help you. Once it's revealed, then the Holy Spirit got to help us to know how to function in our purpose, okay? So the first scripture, turn to Romans chapter 8. And then I'm going to ask Mr. Jameson to read for us Proverbs 19:21 in the NIV. I'll read it in the King James. I'm going to ask him to read it in the NIV, okay? So there's two scriptures, Romans 8:28, Proverbs 19:21. And then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Okay, this is a prayer class. There should be some excitement. We're going to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, online students, Romans chapter 8. And everybody's familiar with it. Verse 28. Ready? Let's read. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. His purpose. Okay? His God. We're talking about God's ordained purpose for you. Amen? Proverbs 19. 21. I made a mistake. I put my phone up in my purse, so that's why I'm going to have to ask him to read it for me. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 19:21. Oh, look, I'm in Isaiah. Well, we're going to go there. That's why it's marked. Okay, ready, let's read. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Amen? All right, yes, sir, Mr. Jameson.
Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails.
Y'all heard that? It is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Amen? All right, stand to your feet. And we're just going to pray just for a few minutes in our own way, asking God to begin to reveal his purpose for our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we just come in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and honor and glory, Lord God. Oh, we're so thankful, Father. Your goodness, your grace, your love, your mercy. Now, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we're asking that our purposes be revealed unto us. So right now, we ask you to help us. Help us to pray concerning our purpose in Jesus' name. Amasia, alalanda de bekishaya, momomonda de beheya, alalala malala kinda namahaya yehia, Lord God. Alalala malala kinda de behia, Lord God. Alalala malala kanda namaya salala kinda rabakaya yehia, Lord God. Amamamamanda de bede, we want to know, Lord. Alalala Maya here, we want to understand our purpose. Alalala Malala here, Yisinde, Ahaya, Oholala Kanana Maya Salala Kinda Dabakaya. Now, Lord, we believe, glory to God, that you have a purpose for each and every one of our lives, Lord. Alalala Mahia, oh my. Lord, we can't know it unless you reveal it to us. Alalala Malala here, Shalala Malala Kanda Maya Saya, Shalala Mahia, they may say, Shalala Malala Kanda Maya Sanda Dabakaya, you hear, Lord God. Alalala malala ha ha. Alalala malala kinda rabakaya ye here, Lord God. It's your purpose, Lord God. Glory to God, it's your purpose. Hallelujah, that will stand, Lord. Hallelujah. Shalalala mayande de be here. Alalala malala kinda rabakaha. Mama mande de be deya. Mama mama mande de be deya. Ishalalala malala kanda ramaya sanda rabakaha. Mama mama mande de be de. Ama mama mande de be de. Oh, raba baba baka shakanda raba kaha. Ala la la mala la inde de here. Ala la la mala la kanda rama ya sala la kinda raba kaha ya. Ama mama mama mande de be de. Ama baba baba mande de be de. Ala la la mala la kanda rama ya sinda raba kaya ye here, Lord God. Oh my, glory to God. Thank you. Ala la la kinda de be here. Oh, raba baba baba baka shakanda raba kaha. Ala la 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 ande de be de ya. Ala la la manda de be de ye here, Lord. Oh, raba baba kasha kanda ramaha ya ye here. Memende, memende de be here, Lord. Oh, raba baba baka shakanda rabaka haya. Ala la la mala la yinde. Ala la la mala la kinda rabakaya ye here, Lord God. Ala la la mala la kanda ramaya sinda rabakaya ye here. Our God ordained purpose. Ala la la mahi, Lord God. Ala la la mala la kanda ramaya sala la kinda rabakaya ye here. Our hearts are open, Lord. Oh, you hear, Holy Spirit. You hear. Students that are here, glory to God. Hallelujah. Students, Lord God. Hallelujah, that are online. You hear. Reveal our purpose, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You hear, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, we just thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, y'all keep praying along those lines. Amen. You can be seated. Now, the other thing, when I went home last week, I really wasn't quite satisfied with our discussion on the peace of God. Remember, we talked about that. Mr. Bounds introduced us to the peace of God. We were talking about anxiety and doubt and fear. And he made the statement, you know, that the peace of God takes care of all of that. I shared with you what happened to me when I asked God to give me peace. I went to Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, and I asked God, I said, I need peace in a certain situation. And how when peace came for me, wisdom came, boldness came. I would not be stopped. There was nothing because it was a knowing on the inside of me of what I needed to do when the peace came. But as students, I want you to know, it's not automatic. Peace is not automatic. You have to ask God to give you peace in every situation. Amen. You've got to seek it. Turn to Isaiah. That's why my little red ribbon was there. 26. The peace of God is like your guide. And for some reason, I'm remembering like your umpire. When the peace of God is there, it lets you know when it's okay to go. And if you don't have that, it tells you to hold up. Don't do nothing. You know, Mr. Bounds was talking about, remember that restless, disquieted, that uncomfortable feeling that you have? Well, you don't want to do anything. You know, you may be asking God about a job. You know, is this the right one, for me? Well, you're praying and you're seeking God, but you're seeking the peace of God about what to do all at the same time. And you go for the interview. And these people say something that is just totally off the wall. And then all of a sudden, something happens on the inside of you. I got to remind you, you're a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a physical body. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. He is there to help you all the time, to guide you. And he does that through giving you this peace, this assurance on the inside, okay? Always remember, it's on the inside. If there's anything, I've heard the word you scratching. If there's any scratching going on the inside, don't do it. Don't do it. Just remember that. This is so important. You may not realize how important this is for you. But you're going to be confronted with situations. If you don't have the peace of God on the inside of you, don't mess with it. You know, you get $1 million. Everybody's going to come out the woodwork telling you, I'm going to tell you a story, invest. You know, there's nothing wrong with investing. Invest in this, invest in that. You know, it's really, really good. This is a good thing. This is a sure thing. And you say, okay, I'm going to invest $500,000 of my million. You know, I'm going to invest it. I mean, you know, I mean, after you pay your tithes and all of that, you know, and do all your sowing that you're going to do, you're going to need guidance from the Holy Spirit to know where to invest this money. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I had a friend, she came into some money. It wasn't a whole bunch of money, but back in that day, it was a lot. And this lady came to her and told her to invest in, oh my gosh, a telephone booth, okay? Now, this was years ago. Y'all got to understand, okay? This was when they still had telephone booths. And she explained to her, you know, well, depending on where you purchase the booth or invest in the booth, that's, you know, you put it in the airport, she said, well, you'll get more money than if you put it on, a street, something like that. And she was talking to me, asking me what I thought about this. Well, first of all, I didn't have that kind of money to invest, number one, not at that time. And so I just look at her, you know, and I didn't get nothing. I got nothing on the inside one way or the other. So, I mean, I said, oh, well, and I went on about my business. Now, I don't know until this day whether or not she invested in the phone booth. But then look what happened. Cell phones. And I think they had bag phones back then, but they were just coming out. You know, so if this lady took her money and invested in the phone booth, she lost all of her money. I don't see a phone booth anywhere. Does anybody, I mean, you know, you might find one here and there, but I don't see them anywhere. So this is why, I mean, as believers, as children of Almighty God, we have inside information. We can always go to God and ask him what to do in this situation and be confident that he is going to lead us. You see what I'm saying? Just be confident. We have not learned how to quiet ourselves and just be still and listen and sense, do I have the peace of God on this? So a lot of times it looks like the most backward thing in the world, you know, for you to be doing, you know, but just trust God. You know, if you don't have a peace about it, leave it alone. Okay? All right, just remember that. But again, it's not automatic. In Isaiah 26, verse 3. Let me see. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. See that? Y'all see that? Whose mind is stayed. You see that? It's not just a little one-time thing. Who stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You see that? You see? But it's not an automatic thing. You have to keep your mind. And when it says stay on it, keep seeking him. Keep praying. Keep studying the word of God. You know, this is what you want to do. And then he will keep you in perfect peace. Can't stress enough the importance of studying and meditating on the word of God for yourself. You know, for yourself. You know, you got to do that. Because, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes and he begins to lead you, he's going to always lead you in line with the word of God. Amen? And then you got to know, is that the word? Because who else got a voice? The enemy got a voice, and he'll try to sneak you, you know? You know, he'll show you something. I think the second year students heard this thing about me in the car. I was believing God for a car. And I just happened to open the newspaper. But I had a specific car that I wanted at that time. And I was just, you know, I was praying and believing God. And I happened to open the newspaper. And here was this other car. You know, not the car that I was believing for at all. You know, and but it had a good price. It's like, oh man, it's supposed to be a luxury car. And so I went and talked to the salesman and all of that. And messed around and bought the car. Not the car I was believing for, asking for, nothing. Just bought the car. And the car turned out to be a lemon. Now, God was merciful to me. He was so merciful. Because a lot of people had a lot of problems with theirs. I had a few. Like, I mean, it wasn't long after I got the car, the whole electrical system went out. And they told me, well, no, that's not covered under your extended warranty. I said, what? You know, what you mean? You know, well, that was my first clue right there. And when I got ready to trade the car in, you know, I didn't keep it long. You know, I don't believe in feeding the duck. And if something is not working, I just, it's like, no, I'm not gonna sink too much money. That's just me. There's nothing wrong with it if that's what you want to do, but that's just me. I don't believe in that. So I think I kept it about 2 years, and I said, time to get rid of this car before something really, really, really major goes on. And when I tried to do that, they said, you're upside down. You owe more than what the car is worth. The car had depreciated so much, y'all. It was unbelievable how much that car had depreciated in that short period of time. But God and his mercy, he is so merciful. He was looking at my heart. He had so much mercy on me that when I went to another dealership to get the car that I was originally believing God for, I was able to trade that car in. Well, you know, naturally, I had to pay a little bit more for it. But it was really, really weird. The dealership went out of business right after I bought the car. They made everybody bring the car back but me. This is what the salesman told me. He might have been lying. I don't know. He said, oh, we had to have them all bring them back. It was something about, you know, I guess the dealership, you know, if they're no longer going to be in existence, like the banks wanted their money and they wanted their cars. But, you know, they didn't say nothing about you bringing yours back. I said, amen. Sound like favor to me now. I didn't know that then, you know, but I know it now. That was the favor of God. You know, that he got me out of that lemon that I was in, and he got me into the car that I really have been believing and praying for all along. But that's just an example how important it is. When you got your petition out, you know, you done talked to the Lord, this is what you want, this is what you believe. Don't settle for nothing else. Just wait on him, you know. Now, that brings us right to our lesson. Because, you know, we talked about, you got to have faith in the beginning, remember? You got to believe. Mr. Bound said Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hold on to that. Just hold on to that. Just trust him. Wait on him. If there needs to be a change, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal it to you. You know what I'm saying? Just stay right there. This lesson on faith and peace is so important. And when I got home, it's like, oh no, I didn't do enough. I need to tell them a little bit more about this peace and how this peace operates, and how your faith is dependent on you being in peace. Because if you don't, you're going to be restless. You're going to start doubting. You're going to start wavering. And then, you know, the Bible tells us, a double-minded man, you know, he's unstable in his ways, right? All, okay, she said all his ways. You don't want to be double-minded. You don't want to be double-minded. Amen? Amen. Because, I mean, the other thing, you know, I was sitting over there. And you know, I always like to pray a few minutes before I come in. And, you know, he says, you must believe that. You must believe. Faith in the beginning. You must believe that God is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I had this picture. Suppose you just walk in a room. You're not talking to nobody in particular. Give me a piece of bread. Give me a piece of bread. Who are you talking to? You know, do you expect to get anything? You haven't called nobody's name. You haven't introduced yourself. You just walk in the room. Give me a piece of bread. No, that's the way it is. You got to know who God is. You got to know that you can depend on him, that you can trust him, and that when you ask him, amen, he's going to answer you, right? Okay, so you must believe that he is. That's the beginning. And then we looked at Mark 11, 24, talking about when you pray, believe, right? Not after you get it, nothing. While you're praying, believing. And then we talked about at the end, you got to stay in faith. That's where that waiting is coming from. You know, we wait, but we wait in faith, trusting God that what we have asked him for, he has given it to us. And, you know, Apostle is teaching us, we already got it. We already got it. Amen? Amen. It's on the inside. We always remember Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath already done, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So it's there. You know, you just get with the Holy Spirit, spend time with him, talking to him about your manifestation. You know, I believe it. I believe it. You know, I'm waiting on him. I'm trusting you every now and then, you know, when it come up. But remember now, we're not asking no more. We got it already. Right. What we're doing is thanking him. Thanking him for it. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, I got it. And then one day, you know, sometimes we just walk into things. It just happens. We don't know why it happened. You know, we know when. We might know the day. But we don't know really when we really received it on the inside. You know what I'm saying? We can't always just pinpoint it. Every now and then you can. You know, something happens. You have that encounter, and it's so real. You know, this is it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. Again, the exam is going to come from chapter 2. Like I said, I think we have just about gone over everything. I wanted to emphasize about the peace and how important your peace is. Mr. Bounds told us that, you know, our faith can be increased. It can grow. You know, for a long time we thought it couldn't, you know. But you can have weak faith, strong faith, little faith. I don't believe you can have no faith. Even though he said you can have no faith, lack faith. You know, Mr. Bounds said you can lack faith. Amen. You might lack it in a particular area. Okay, let's go with that. You might lack it in a particular, but we are saved, right? So we had to have faith to be saved. So we got that much. It might just be saving faith. You know, you got saving faith, but you might not have faith to be healed or faith to be prosperous, you know, but we can work on it because just like you got saved, you can get anything else from God. Amen. Amen. It all operates the same way. That was one of our scriptures also, and that this is a review. Remember Ephesians 2 and 8. What, by grace? For it's by grace through faith that we are saved. Remember that? Mr. Bounds says, we catch a glimpse of the tremendous importance of faith and the great value God has put on it when we remember he has made it, meaning faith, the one essential condition of being saved. Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are we saved through faith. Remember that. Okay? I'm trying to see where we... Okay, we asked the questions. Remember last week we asked those questions? Mr. Bounds asked the questions that you're to ask yourselves. You know, do I have faith in God? Do I really have faith in God? Am I really trusting him? Am I really believing him? Do I really pray to God, excuse me, so that he hears and answers my prayers? These are just questions. Now, Mr. Bounds seems to be really, really tough on fivefold ministry gifts. You know, he puts a lot of responsibility on the fivefold ministry gifts. He says in this chapter, and I think I shared a little bit, I started a little bit last week. He says, the pastor who succeeds in changing his people from a prayerless to a prayerful people has done a great work. The role of the pastor is to turn the people from being forgetful about God, from lacking faith, from being prayerless into people who habitually pray, believe in God, remember him, and do his will. That's a big responsibility, you know? I'm taking them from not praying, like he says, from being prayerless, no faith. They don't forgot about God. Don't we know people like that today? Yeah. You know, that's probably what's going on with so many of them. He says to take them from that to being people who habitually are all the time. I don't like that word habitually that he used. But like people who all the time pray, people who all the time believe God and remember him and then do his will. He also says, now this time he didn't say the pastor. He said the preacher is not sent simply to persuade men to join the church or to get them to do better. That's not the only reason, you know? He, and I put she, I don't know if he had she in there. Some, you know, he don't say she much, but I put she. He or she is sent to get them to pray, to trust God, and to keep God ever before the eyes of the people, so that they may not sin against God. Amen. This is what Mr. Bounds says. But, you know, I thought it was really, really important because, you know, I've shared, I don't know if it might have been last year, we are instruments for God, right? We can lead a person into salvation. Don't just leave them standing there, though, just at salvation. What I have found is that when I've led a person, I have to pray for that person. I have to pray for that person until they become strong enough to be able to pray for themselves. They're babies, you know? Just like you have to feed the baby, change the baby, nurture the baby, tell the baby, hey, I love you, you know? You can do that from a spiritual standpoint. And one of the things that, you know, through Apostle, we have learned to do is to pray for the new converts. We pray, Galatians, make a note of this, Galatians 4:19, that Christ would be formed in them. My little children, whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. It's a process. When they are born again, they're not fully mature. We weren't either. And we still not. You know, matter of fact, we will never. You know, it will be on and on and on and on, you know, because God keep, I call it up in the ante on us. You know, it's like there's so much to him. There is just so much to him. Amen. So we have to pray for Christ to be formed in them. Don't just pray with them to get saved. Pray with them to get filled with the Spirit. Lift them up in prayer for a while. Don't leave them. Then we want to pray for them. That they will have the hunger and thirst for righteousness. I think that's Matthew 5 and 6. Okay, so we're praying for Christ to be formed in them. We're praying for them to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And then we want to pray for them to walk in love, that the love of God has been shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we want them to know how to walk in love. Amen. Amen. Okay, yeah, we talked about I just went over that anyway, the beginning, the middle, and the end, talking about faith and prayer. We talked about Hebrews 11 and 6. Mr. Bounds said, faith is not the only condition of prayer, but it is the final essential condition of true praying. You understand? true praying, and we already looked at this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through, and I'm going to have to go to my Bible for 8, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask how?
In faith,
nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. And I think 8 must say a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Yeah, that's what he said. See, being double-minded is nothing but doubt. That's all that is. It's just, you know, well, maybe, you know. No. You got to know. Amen? And trust God. Remember, Mr. Brown said, doubting is always forbidden because it stands as an enemy to your faith and hinders effective praying. That's what doubt does. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Amen? So we know that fear and doubt have no place in true praying. If you find yourself fearful or if you find yourself doubtful, spend more time in the Word of God. Just spend more time reading, meditating, until you believe what it is that you're reading and then you're meditating. And then allow the Holy Spirit to reveal and then to speak to you. Amen? Amen. And then you're ready. Then you're ready to pray. Then you're ready to pray. That's like the going to the courts of heaven. Remember? We found out that we can go to the courts of heaven. We don't go into battle until we go to the courts. And then the courts will give us instructions. They'll give us verdicts, decisions, and judgments. And we take that, and then we go to the battlefield. Because why? We already won. We already know. So we just go on out there and say, ha-ha, we win. We win. May not have the manifestation, but we win. You know, just think about what we read when we're talking about purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God. May not look good, might not even feel good, but it's working together. Just trust God. Just believe God. It's working together for my good. He's just like he fixed that for that car, for me in that car, he'll fix anything else just like that. Just like that, he'll fix it for you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Good night. Y'all have a good night. Exam week next week. So I'll see y'all week after next. Y'all take care.